Oh, we're so pleased you're joining us today on Take 10. We come to you every week with a different topic related to the mental health and mental care for not only caregivers but others. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host, Carol Zernial. Carol, as you may know, is a nationally recognized gerontologist, named one of the nation's top 50 influencers in aging by Next Avenue. Carol is the executive director of the WellMed Charitable Foundation and senior vice president, social responsibility for WellMed Medical Management. Dr. Jamie Heisman serves as chief compassion officer for WellMed Medical Management. He's a leading authority on caregiving and not only that, but addictions as well. And if you're facing burnout, compassion fatigue, and related addictions, Dr. Jamie is your guy. Carol, you want to kick off Take 10?
Yes. I've been thinking about caregiving and this idea that it is a marathon and not a sprint. We often hear that, say that. And to me, that means that we're going to face some tough times, some adversity, some challenges. Could be the holidays, could be, you know, somebody whose health is declining, who doesn't know us anymore. So, Jamie, what do we do? Can we develop, let's say, coping skills or a library of resources, a toolkit? What do we do knowing that we've got a long way to go?
Well, you know, this is an early intervention question, or should I say a prevention question, Carol. I love the fact that you bring up the analogy to actual races, because in life itself, whether we're a caregiver or not, you know, we always say pain is inevitable, suffering is not. So in so many ways with a caregiver, you know, it is an added responsibility. I mean, life is already challenging, taking care of our mind, our body, our spirit, doing the things we talked about last week with depression, or actually coping with life, because as you say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. These are all kind of creative ways we can lay out a treatment plan for ourselves. But treatment planning should be really something that happens at the very beginning of life. And that's called prevention. So if it is a marathon, which I totally agree with you, especially caregiving, we need to start early taking care of ourselves. We need, if it's inevitable, for instance, it's inevitable, as Rosalind Carter, God rest her soul, what a icon she certainly was. And I can't wait to do a program simply on her inspiration. But she says, we're all going to be a caregiver one day, right? If you're not a caregiver today, you'll be a caregiver tomorrow. If we can prepare for the marathon and take care of ourselves, taking our oxygen first early in our life, building up resilience, which we call developing the brain and reparenting ourselves before we get hit with these things called caregiving or death or loss or grief or things that go bump in the night. Well, heck, we're going to be more prepared for that marathon. It's always going to be conditioning in the gym that allows you to compete in a marathon.
So at birth, we get a pediatrician. Should we begin an association with a therapist?
I personally believe that we in the world of psychology should understand psychology more in terms of something that happens even in utero. How would you like that? How about if I told you as a trauma therapist, I don't believe there is post-traumatic complex trauma. I believe it's all complex trauma because trauma begins years before we even can be born. For instance, I know I was talking to my therapist the other day because I'm in recovery for complex trauma. And I said to her, I said, you know, how can we call it post anything? I mean, in utero, we could be traumatized. My grandfather, God rest his soul, who, you know, disciplined my mother in very corporal punishment ways, may have started this whole process. So trauma could happen when we're at childbirth, which is absolutely a neurological shock to our system. So your question is a great question, Ron. I do think we should teach our children mental health, resilience from day one, whether it's breath work or whether it's connecting with healthy kids or hanging out with people with positive attitudes. And we should show them as adults. We should be the corrective emotional experience rather than just tell them.
Are we born knowing how to cope or do we learn that?
No, we are not known how to cope. I'm going to tell you right now, we are a blank slate. When you hear me say there's no bad children, only bad parents, that's true. Okay. If you feel a corrective emotional experience because the person next to you is grounded, authentic, hears your pain, picks you up when you're crying, holds you, does all the natural things to respond to you, you're going to learn that's how the world works. If, on the other hand, the person doesn't pick you up, stays detached, doesn't really care, lets you cry, maybe you don't take the milk from mama and she leaves you on the bed, holy cow, you're going to see life in a very unhealthy, distrustful way. So we're a blank slate. It's up to adults to do it right, to be fair, to be consistent, to be available, to understand that this is a really tough responsibility. And if you're going to be a parent, take it on properly.
Let me tell folks who may have just joined us, you're listening to Take 10. I'm Ron Aaron, along with Carol Zernal and Dr. Jamie Heisman. We're talking about coping and learning to cope and all of the things that get thrown at caregivers, some of which, Dr. Jamie, I suspect we throw at ourselves.
We do, Ron, and I'm so interested in Carol talking about coping because of Caregiver SOS, but we do. I often say in our organization, which is called the TAR Network, Toxic Abusive Relationship Network, is that the first toxic relationship we have is with ourselves. But we learn that through experiencing childhood. So again, if our parents are keeping us in a safe, fair environment and our resilience is developing and we're honored and respected, and not in that children should be seen and not heard world, then we're going to grow up seeing and feeling the world like that. So I think it's in the adult's hands to be adult and to for the kids to be in a healthy environment with healthy people.
You know, I think the most important thing for caregivers, the first coping mechanism they should have is to understand they are not alone. Maybe they didn't learn that as children, but in the caregiving world, virtually every caregiver that comes to us thinks they are the only one. And if you will start your journey with the idea that I am not alone, that there's help out there, there are resources out there, you're going to start developing coping skills with the help of others right at the start. Maybe not in utero, but right at the start.
Well, you're right, Carol, because here's the gig. I mean, let's face it. You can learn coping skills simply by doing something nice for somebody, by leaning in, by going to a charity or foundation and making somebody smile. You can also learn coping skills in your life by attending a baseball game or a football game or a ballet, things that you really connect with. Heck, if you paint or you try, want to try arts and crafts or spend time outside, these are all coping skills. If as a child you never saw life as being safe, and I 100% agree with you, you're less likely to reach out. That's why we have clinicians. That's why we say, why don't you talk to somebody who's maybe trained up, who can help you to the next place? But the beauty of Caregiver SOS and the beauty of support groups that are out there is the fact that you're right, Carol. We have to learn for the first time maybe to reach out. But when we reach out, one of your support groups, the Caregiver SOS, is exactly the place, the safe place that people should reach out to.
Expand, if you will, on the concept. A lot of people grew up in a world in which children were seen but not heard. And on several occasions, I've heard you talk about that as if that's not the way to raise a kid.
But it's not, Ron. We have to raise a child like we would want to raise ourselves. So we wanted to treat a child that a child's words matter. A child has the power to meet their parent halfway. Now, The child needs to speak up, maybe even question authority. If the parent feels it's a value-based decision, the parent may say, no, this is where our values are. This, I appreciate you bringing that to us. But it has to be a very safe environment. Listen, we call it in psychology innocent abuses. Though children should be seen and not heard is an innocent abuse. It's passed on from one after the other. No, this is a real proving ground. This is a laboratory of how we're going to live the rest of our lives. So we need to treat everybody equally, bear witness, help our kids meet us halfway, and we should meet them halfway, and they'll learn that lifestyle choices are more healthy, and that they don't have to become codependent, you know, people pleasers in the process.
We're flat out of time, but some of that I think would apply to listening to that care recipient as well.
Exactly.
Dr. Jamie, Carol Zernial, thank you so much. Take 10, another one in the can, as they used to say. I'm Ron Aaron with Carol Zernial and Dr. Jamie Heisman. Talk with you again soon on Take 10.